an idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Dark City Compassion Club show. In the studio tonight, we have Ali Majid from Sister. He'll be joined by myself, Martin, Sarah, and Bob of Bob's Backyard. And we're here for another hour of the Compassion Club. Phone lines are open, and we're happy to take callers. Please give us a call on 0161 298 0298. Or add Skype, Bob's Backyard. Just open up your Skype there, go in the search tab and write Bob's Backyard and add us in and we'll get you on the show. Any questions about growing tips, cannabis oil or the Spanish Association, please feel free to join in and ask us any questions that you have. So, let's get straight in there with our guest, Ali Majid. Can you say hello to the guests?
Hello, everyone. My name's Ali Majid. How are you all?
Brilliant. So, Ali, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I'm a 23-year-old barber from Stoke-on-Trent. Lived up and down the country. Love doing what I do. And I used to have sleep problems when I was younger. I started using cannabis and I found that helped me. Found out about Sister and was all for it. I'm guns blazing trying to help change everything as soon as possible. That's what I do.
Brilliant. And you're involved in the organisation Sister, is that correct?
Yeah, Sister, Cannabis is Safer Than Alcohol. Single issue party, trying to change law reform and help cannabis users come out of the underground and the black market and be able to basically be free and amongst other alcohol users and cigarette users and whatever, and not be targeted by the police and the government and society, basically.
And how long have you been a candidate?
About 3 months altogether, not even that, about 2 months maybe. I went down to a Drugs Live debate with Jon Snow. I had a placement there as an audience member. And on my way down, I actually saw an advertisement for Sister hiring members and candidates. And I sort of sent him an email saying that when I'm going into Drugs Live, I don't want to be just some random pothead within this audience. I want to be someone who's a part of an organization and so I can represent something and obviously push out that I'm standing for something. And that's where Sister came in. And when I went in and met Paul and Steve straight away on the first day, I didn't even know who they were. Completely average people. And it was amazing. I had a good experience with them, told them that they can put me up as a candidate. And I was a bit shocked. I didn't really believe them at first. Didn't know what to make of it. But as time went on, it was amazing. We got to do loads of different things, meet different people in high up places. It's been a fun experience with Sister, and they're doing amazing things all over the UK. I mean, even Northern Ireland and Scotland. We even beat the Conservatives in some areas, and for a party that's only 3 or 4 months old, to beat the Conservatives, the people in power in areas of England, I mean, that's amazing. And to be a part of that, it's a blessing, I think. But yeah.
That is amazing. Thanks for sharing your story. For the listeners who are unfamiliar with Sister, could you let us know who Paul and Steve are?
Paul Birch is basically one of the founders of Bebo. He sold Bebo for about $850 million or something like that to AOL. There's actually a documentary about him. I think he bought it back for a pound afterwards as well when Facebook came out and Bebo's stock price sort of crashed there. He bought it back as well, I think. But yeah, he's a recreational user, and I think this was one of his aims as well, to help recreational users and medicinal users and stop them from being targeted. Because even though he's a millionaire, he has to sneak around the corner of the pub or the club or whatever, just like you and I, to smoke his joint or his vape. And it's not fair on anyone, really, whether you're in top, like, high in society or, like one of the people at the bottom. It's not fair. And that's one thing that Steve's pushing, and, sorry, Steve as well. And he doesn't even drink. I'm sorry, he doesn't even smoke. He's more of a drinker than a smoker. He doesn't even smoke at all. And because Paul's one of his friends, and he believes in this, and Steve also believes that that people like his friends should not have to be targeted and should not have to go around the corner when we could be out amongst everyone else as contributing members of society, having fun amongst everyone else instead of sitting at home, smoking our joints. I mean, because I'd much rather smoke than drink. And I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of people out there, if not millions, that's the same as me. And we need help fight for their rights, and that's what Steve and Paul are doing. Truth be told, I'm not much of a political person, but one thing I do know is cannabis and the industry and the laws regarding that. And don't know much more about Paul or Steve, but they're good guys, and they're helping us with what we're doing. And any help I need from them, they're there for me.
That's very positive. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how much safer is cannabis than alcohol?
Well, I stopped drinking last year. I was in the club. Last thing I remember was lining up the whole bar with Sambuca shots. And that's the last thing I remember. Next thing I remember is looking at my car, which I parked at home, crashed. That's when I started sobering up. I was like, gosh, what the hell has happened? Who drove this? You know what I mean? And for not to even know that I drove it, for to be completely out of character, because I parked it at home. I wouldn't even thought of driving it drunk. You know what I mean? I was like, thanking God that I didn't run someone over and get 12 years in jail. You know what I mean? And that's just my story alone. That's one story alone. I mean, how many arguments and how many fights that you see in town or in pubs and clubs due to alcohol and over something silly. You know what I mean? How many accidents do you see? How many people do you see in the jail cell for being too stoned? Zero. You know what I mean? And the jail cells and the NHS hospitals are completely full of alcoholics and people who are in there for drunken incidents, whether they're little minor, like somebody might be drunk and fallen over and broken their ankle. That's stopping a nurse from attending to someone who's dying of cancer. You know what I mean? Or someone with a real illness. But alcohol is definitely a lot more dangerous. And if you look at the illnesses that alcohol is causing compared to cannabis, it's ridiculous. But then again, the only bad things about cannabis is prohibition and the fact that there's drug dealers that a gram of cannabis is as much as a gram of gold. And they can spray that up within a matter of minutes and turn 5,000 into 10 and 10 into 20. And that's at the cost of the public's health. And that's what's destroying the public and even the cannabis industry as well. Like, that's what's giving it a bad name because of drug dealers and prohibition. But cannabis is definitely more safer than alcohol. I mean, like I said, how many people do you see in the jail cells who are there for being too stoned? Zero. You know what I mean? It doesn't even come to a factor. If you look at people right now, there's new drug test laws that came out where people are getting drug tested on the streets by police who are driving. And you get done for drug driving. People who can't even be found out if they're drug driving are getting stopped and losing licenses and getting giving £5,000 fine just because the computer's reading up as this person's been caught for possession before. You might as well stop him. You know what I mean? That's what the police are seeing. The computer tells them who to pull over, and it's not fair to lose your license. So, truth be told, I'm thinking, should I even bother getting my car back when my license does come back, because I'm going to be getting stoned and driving most probably. So I don't know what the laws are like regarding this stuff. It's crazy at the moment. And cannabis is definitely safer than alcohol. And that's one of the reasons I'm with Sister, and I believe in Sister. If you look in America, that's one of the leading arguments that they had, was that marijuana is safer than alcohol. They've actually got their own party there that does the same thing. So why not give that same experience to England, eh? give them the Cannabis is Safer Than Alcohol Party and give them something to vote for instead of just having to put a tick next to Labour or this and that. Because I don't believe in any of that. I've never been into politics, but when I see a cannabis leaf there, that's something that can change something for me. You know what I mean? That's something. It's a single issue party. It's solely concentrated on this. And if we legalize cannabis, we can focus on everything, not just one thing alone. We can look at, like, from legal immigration to slavery and making ropes and clothing and biofuel and making cars out of hemp or planes even that run on hemp. And the possibilities are endless.
They are endless, Ali. And it's so great that you're highlighting this one issue. And I feel as you do that this one issue has more potential and power to unite the people and channel this energy into something new and positive and fresh, which is what we all really need at this time. Now, I'm just going to touch upon a judge recently has acquitted a cannabis social club in Spain, saying that cannabis is not dangerous to the public. Now, this is hard evidence. You know, this is on record. And the more of this hard evidence that we can build as a community, the more chance that we have of getting the results that we require. Have you seen this story, Ali, in the news?
Yeah, I mean, I've read it and I have heard about it. And this is the thing. Have you heard of David Hibbert's bylaw?
We had David on last week.
Yeah. I watched that. But yeah, David Hibbert's bylaw is like sort of like the same sort of thing that we're trying to do here. Once we get even asked to get arrested, so we could sort of make one of the first cases. But as soon as we get this one case in England that can acquit someone and say that they were doing it for a necessity and cannabis does have a medical benefit to it, we should be taking that off the Misuse of Drugs Act, you know what I mean? Stuff like heroin and cocaine is used as methadone and codeine, but it's still on the Misuse of Drugs Act when it does have medicinal benefits. And I live amongst an area where right opposite a job centre is a pharmacy. And if you think about, I see people walking straight from the job centre into the pharmacy limping, and as soon as they come out with the medication, they're hopping and skipping and they're swapping and selling, and it's crazy. And the biggest drug dealers out there are the government. And I have seen the story, and we need more coverage yourself, and we need the actual government to think that it is beneficial, because a lot of judges even think that as well, like that there is medical benefits to it, you know what I mean? But they have to go by the law.
Absolutely. So, you touched upon David there, which I know is a friend of yours. I saw you recently at the, something that you posted from your CanMed page about a family outing that you had that looked really, really great. It's so good to see David after surviving the cancer, you know, happy with his family and engaged in all the good things that life's all about, you know, unity and togetherness. I just want to say David's got 3,415 petition signs on change.org. Now, I did say last week on the show that wasn't enough, but that's so much progress, you know. It's a huge amount. It's a huge achievement, and we should all be so proud of David for what he's done, and so
that's
excited. One man can get 3,400 people motivated. That's an inspiration to everyone, you know. Great stuff. I just want to quickly touch upon something. Have you heard of Planet X637Z-43?
No, I can't say I have.
All right, well, it's just a bit of random fun. I found an article about NASA finding a planet covered in marijuana.
Wow. I mean, how high was the guy who wrote that report? I don't know.
I think it might be a fake story, but it's all over the internet and it looks quite funny. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, back from space travel, back down onto the ground. So what's the you know, what's the next steps for Sister? Where are you going in the future?
Well, this is the thing. We've got 5 years to plan. We want to create awareness. We want everyone to get educated, and that's the main thing. And I think that's what we need to concentrate on doing, is just educating the public. Just get them to grow. If we can grow, why can't you grow? You know what I mean? If growers out there, drug dealers are growing, why can't we grow? You know what I mean? Why can't you take your own fate into your own hand? Why do you have to leave it into a scheming person, gangster, who lives just around the corner from you? You know what I mean? You'd be taking the same risk as him. You know what I mean? But you're doing it for a medical purpose. So the way I see it, as even if police knock someone's door through for growing it medicinally, there's no scales or baggies or, you know what I mean, copious amounts of cash laying around or anything like that. We're just normal average people. So take my door down if you want, like, it's just going to create more awareness. That's the way I see it as, and I've already got a criminal record for possession, and that was just possession, so that's ruined my criminal record in that sense. So why not get done for having one or two plants, eh? Just create awareness. Let everyone do it. If everyone's doing it, they won't be able to stop it. And that's what happened in America. That's what happened in Colorado. So we need to do the same thing.
Shall I tell you how they will be able to, or they might try and stop it? And that is to get a bad reaction out of someone. For example, let's say someone came into your house in the middle of the night and tried to, arrest you for growing your medicine, right? Now, there's a number of ways you could react to that situation. And one of the things that I'd love to throw out there into the cannabis community is that we have the responsibility, way more than others, to react very sensibly to these situations. And the more of us that can react very sensibly, honourably, and with an adult manner to what's going on, we've got a much better chance of success. If they're pulled into some kind of conflict environment whereby people are going to enter in some kind of harm, then this could set us back. And the last thing we need now is a setback, because we've got so much going for us. We've got so much evidence accumulating that I just want to put out there that people have got to keep a real clear head and make sure that, they're acting responsibly with what they're doing.
Of course, like, don't start arming yourselves up with double-barrel shotguns and stuff like that because you think someone's going to rob you. But that's a part of the thing. That's a part of our problem at the same time. We've got police can't protect us. You know what I mean? Like, someone could imagine, like, some woman's growing some cannabis for herself. She's got children. She's got pets or whatever. And a drug dealer or just some scumbag off the street gets a whiff of it. You know what I mean? And they come through the doors. And they can do whatever they want to that woman, you know what I mean? She is at his mercy at that point. She can't ring the police, because then the first person who's getting arrested is her for cultivating, you know what I mean? With kids in the house or whatever, like, so that is a part of our problem, but yeah, we need to look into that.
Brilliant. Now, I've got Bob and Sarah with me, and I'd like to just invite them into the conversation. Is there anything that we've been talking about over the past sort of 20 minutes that you'd like to maybe make a point on, Bob or Sarah?
Me?
Go on then.
Okay. The point Ali makes about, you know, the I Spartacus, you know, I Planticus, you know, everyone should be growing a few. And more so, when someone does get pulled over, everyone should turn up at the police station and hand themselves in. Everyone. Insist on a prosecution as much as you possibly can. You know, the whole idea is if they take one of us down, hundreds of us will take the place. The government in Holland now has moved on hydroponic shops and grow shops. After register who they're selling the lights to. This is in Holland, the Mecca, for many of us for many years. It's not just in the UK where we're getting ridiculous laws taking place. But Martin, before I waffle, I do believe you've got a caller on the line. If you want to take your caller, I can...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Can we get the caller in? Caller, can you say hello?
Hello?
Hi, thanks for calling. Could you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Yvonne McLean. I'm actually a colleague of Ali's and Sister.
Wonderful. Wonderful to have you here this evening. What would you like to share with us?
I'd like to actually share about GW Pharmaceuticals, which I haven't touched on yet. We have, obviously, a Labour government that has given a licence to a pharmaceutical company to grow cannabis and turn it into tinctures and make it into medicine and ship it abroad. And our government's obviously still maintaining that there's no medicinal value to the cannabis plant.
Yes, go on, please.
It was David Blunkett in a Labour government in 1997 that gave GW the licence. They grow marijuana, they crossbreed the plants, make their own strains, change it into, obviously, mouth sprays, etc. Sativex, and ship it abroad and charge extortionate prices. And this is all going on under everybody's nose.
Absolutely, yeah. And thanks for calling and highlighting this issue. We've touched on the Sativex a number of times on the show. And one of the sort of messages that we continually keep putting across is that, you know, if this marijuana has no medicinal value, what is Sativex doing on the shelves? And what is... What's going on? Well, you know, this is clearly an inconsistency of a gross nature. Sorry, carry on.
They've just actually been given a licence to trial it on children, babies that have just come out the womb. Their brains have been starved of oxygen and there's brain damage to give it to them intravenously. This information is obviously widely available on the internet, etc.
Right, could you tell us a bit more about this trial?
It's obviously been accepted. They've been licensed to go ahead and trial it, and it's for children, babies that are born, and they've been starved of oxygen in the womb.
Right, okay.
To repair the brain cells.
Is this here in the UK?
Yes, I don't know if they've actually if they're trialing it here in the UK or if it's in America.
Right.
Because obviously in America, in 23 states, it is legal.
Right, okay. Well, cannabis is a great neuroprotector. So it would be fantastic for children. Sarah just put there that it doesn't encourage the cell regrowth. It's such a wonderful tool and so safe as well. Yeah, there's no reason why this shouldn't be trialled on children. Would you like to bring any other points?
No, I'll let Ali carry on.
Can I just pick up with the call there just for a moment? Hi, it's Paul over in Spain.
Hi, Paul.
I've got a bottle of Sativex here in my hand. You can't see it. I'm holding it up on the camera.
Yeah.
I can tell you the difference between this and the oil that I produce here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about £100 a bottle.
Exactly.
So if you buy a bottle... I can refill it for about €20, maybe, I don't know exactly, I'm guessing, but it's about that much. You can make a coconut oil. I've made some coconut oil for external use.
I've been looking into that, actually.
Which is actually for someone with cirrhosis. And we've done that at two strengths. We're experimenting with it at the moment because we've gone looking... And most people make up coconut from the raw plant material. We're not. We're making it from pure extract. So this way we can produce things just as clean and as effective as whoever makes this one. I think this is GW Pharma.
I wouldn't be surprised if yours is cleaner.
Well, it's exactly the same stuff. That's the point. It's just because we can't make money on cannabis. That's illegal in Spain to make any profit on cannabis. So we are talking of cost prices. But £100 for a bottle?
That's ridiculous. For some for a plant that you can grow yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, this is easy to do in your own home. These things are easy to do in your own home. And we're not allowed to grow our own medicine. It's just absurd. I mean, it's obvious that there's medical benefits for them still to be maintaining there isn't, as a crime against humanity, as far as I'm concerned.
Somebody's got it wrong. Somebody has got it wrong. You can't prescribe it as a medicine and say it has no therapeutic value.
Exactly. You know,
I take it a step further. I take it a step away from cannabis. I mean, it's the way that medicine is actually being implemented within the entire United Kingdom, which is the problem.
It's not that
we haven't got cannabis. We've got some brilliant drugs within pharmaceutical industry. You know, there's some incredible things have happened. But unfortunately, they're not being used correctly. Doctors are misprescribing drugs on a daily basis. And they are killing people. You know, if I, heaven behold, make a mistake with cannabis oil, somebody might get a bit high. You know, they might think they're going to die.
Yeah.
But they won't. They won't.
My brother was an alcoholic, and my brother was actually prescribed venlafaxine, which is antidepressants. And he was coming off the antidepressants, and nobody was monitoring him. And he took his own life. I've lost four years of my life due to pharmaceuticals.
I hear these stories. You wouldn't believe how many stories of unfortunate people that we couldn't get to. We couldn't help them. We've dealt with people with severe depression, anxiety, agoraphobia, and people say this. It causes mental issues. It's ridiculous. It's an exit drug, not a gateway drug for people in alcohol. And people getting off prescription drugs.
I've got all
I've dealt with one guy rattled like a castanet when he first came to Spain.
I've got all my pharmaceuticals with cannabis.
60 days it took him, completely clean of everything.
Yep.
And incredibly healthy as well, more healthy than he's ever been. Now back in employment in Holland. He actually lived in England. He's moved to Holland. Because it's crazy. Anyway, thank you very much for calling us on the Compassion Club.
Thank you very much for speaking to me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
So I think we were touching on the I Spartacus idea, as I called it, more so, you know, people growing one or two plants. I'd keep it down to 1.2 square metres. I wouldn't grow any more than 1.2 square metres in the United Kingdom. I'd work in groups. I'm we're doing a lot of work here in Spain, and people think I've given up on the UK. It's untrue. A lot of what I'm finding out here, the way the law works, the way private individuals should be treated, that is covered under United Nations law. There are cases they've just held off. We've had a Queen's Commission. Cannabis has come back less dangerous than horse riding. So let's ban all the rich people from riding horses. You know, and rhubarb. Rhubarb is one of the most toxic, dangerousest plants, and there's old people planting it out through the country. I mean, we should give them fixed penalty and arrest them and put them in for being dealing in a potential killer. So, yeah, we have got to make some kind of a stand. And, you know, the other end of this is in the mountains just down the road, 600-700 kilometres away from me, there are men fighting with Kalashnikovs, AK-47s and RPGs to protect their rights to grow cannabis because they've been cheated and robbed by the government over and over and over again. And they aren't doing that because they want medicine. They're doing it because they want to feed their children. We can open up a trading route from Africa into the UK and supply cannabis oil for approximately 2, maybe 3 euros a gram. Not £60, not £50, but international law says this cannot be allowed. I think that's something to do with the 1911 trading agreement. They've just been shafting us all along. So, you know, I here in Spain, you know, we say we can make the equivalent to Savitex, a damn sight lot better, actually. You don't want all this rubbish to put in with it. For 25, 30 euros, like I say, I'm guessing thereabout. In Morocco, you could I believe it's 1,500 euros for 1,000 grams. That's 1.5 euros a gram. Okay, we have got to have a look at how it's made and stuff. I have oils here that have been made from leaf trim by very good people, kind-hearted people, but it's come back with having mineral oil in it because of the machines they're using. The leaf trimming machines, olive oils, and are often used in some cases. But yeah, you know, we have to make it.
We can make
as if we were GW Simon's Foodical. You can make this cleanly in your kitchen. Excuse me, Ali. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. It's alright. We can make oil here. What I'm doing with the CanMed is like something that I started up myself. With a few friends and stuff, and we're just going to educate the local community and keep it just as like Stoke-on-Trent type of based, and just basically I want people to do more of that life as well in the local area, just set up little bases of information and stuff like, and I'll be making oil with David Hibbert, and we're going to record how he did it and show his method, and obviously it worked for him, so we're going to be putting all those different methods out as well. And you can make oil from the bud that's given to you from dealers here as well, right? You know what I mean? Obviously, you've got to look at where it comes from and stuff like that. But also, if everyone was growing, the price of bud would come down. So we would be able to make more oil. And even if you're not using it...
You know, they said that in Holland 15 years ago, and the price is still going up. There's a lot of people think the price will come down. Yeah, in America, they all said the price is going to crash. And I mean, people say, it's dead cheap. It's gone out of the window, the supply for this, which is a brilliant thing for the economics of a country, Ali. I mean, farmers have been having a rough end of it. You could just turn the farming industry. Could be the most, literally, the streets could be paved with gold.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, yeah, oils, I'm making oils. I've actually spent most of the time I've been here, up until about 3 months ago, where we perfected our technique of extraction and decarboxylation. We were looking at removing all the acid. And there's so much information out there on the internet, but very little facts, hard, cold, scientific facts. The thermal reaction temperatures of cannabis, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what cannabis you've made, those thermal reaction temperatures remain the same. It's like water freezes at 0 degrees centigrade. So, and this remains the same all the way around the world. This has been almost like sacred knowledge. People who have made cannabis oils for a long time do not freely share this information. They really don't. And there are simple techniques you can guarantee removing all the acid. We got 99.85, greater than 99.85 removal of acid, what they call decarboxylation. And this can be easy, as you say. The equipment is not expensive to do it. It isn't. Not when you think a couple of bottles of this Savitex stuff, you know. I mean, one box of Savitex per city would set up production of cannabis oil. One box. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, I don't use cannabis. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but you're paying for the prescription. You're paying for the prescription. There's one of the guys, I think it is, I think it's David. I think it was David. He saved them a fortune. Alex. Alex, he saved them a fortune by not taking the prescription drugs that they give them every year. He's not, he doesn't save that money. The taxpayer, well, I'd like to think the taxpayer does, but they probably use it to bomb some innocent children in some far off distant land. Hey, in a perfect world, we would see massive increase and benefit across the field, you know, whether it is socially, economically. This is really a win-win situation. It really is. I think we need a sensible medical policy for the United Kingdom. We've been asked about this. I know the UPA have been asked about this. It would be great to work with the smaller parties, yourself, Ali, the Green Party, the Liberals, they're all paying an interest. I hope that interest remains after the election now.
That's the thing. With SISTA, it's like a single policy issue. Like, you know what I mean? Single issue. And then, like, I was next to Tristram Hunt, which is the Labour candidate who won the election, right? And we were at a hustings. And at the hustings, because of SISTA, me, as, like, a stoner or whatever, was sitting next to all these politicians. I don't even know nothing about politics, you know what I mean? I know about cannabis. I know what's going on the street and what's actually happening. I just came out of education recently, whereas these guys haven't been in education for the last 10 or 20 odd years, you know what I mean? They don't know the education system like I do. They don't know what's going on like I do. And I'm there next to Tristram Hunt, and I'm wearing my UPA band, and I've literally taken it off and given it to him. And he's like, oh, what's this? And I was like, read it. And he's like, read it, and he's like, quickly put it in his pocket. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, you take that home and have a little look at that. And being able to, like, put that influence, like, the not average type of person who's going to be a politician in front of these politicians and sort of pressurize them. I know I wasn't going to win anything, but being able to tell Tristram Hunt, listen, mate, you've got people out there who are going to start voting other ways because you're actually shunning them. One of them being like the people like me, cannabis users, you know what I mean? We're not, like, 50% of people didn't even turn up for the vote. You know what I mean? 50% of Stoke-on-Trent didn't turn up. Why was that? Because they didn't care. Like, whatever tick they put in the whatever box, it's not going to make a difference for them. And, like, when SISTA's there, we can make a difference. We can change drug laws and stuff like that. We're a single issue policy party, and we will do that. And I'm focused on doing that, you know what I mean? They don't pay me, no, SISTA doesn't pay me nothing for doing it. I'm just passionate about doing what I want to do. SISTA's gave me a voice to do it. Right now I'm, like, coordinating Midlands at the moment. I'll be organising events with the UPA and whatnot all over the place, and SISTA will be helping me with everything. So, yeah, it's amazing what SISTA's done for, like, the cannabis community. Really, we got a foot through the door in there in that sense. Definitely. And they were worried. They were sweating. Even UKIP and everyone, like, because there was a lot of invalid votes that didn't go in properly because they weren't marked properly. And a lot of them put the tick next to Labour or UKIP or Conservatives, wherever they put in the tick. And then all of a sudden, like, there's a next tick next to this ganja leaf. And I was looking at them all when the count was happening. I was telling them, look, they messed up this time, but next time they will be coming for me because I'll make sure they know how to vote next time. And then I've got 5 years to make the, like, spread the message and stuff like that. And we're going to recruit as many people as we can. So if anyone can get to sister.org, you know what I mean, sign up on there. We're looking for volunteers, candidates. I want a candidate in every constituency. You know what I mean? I want no one there to be not able to vote for legalization or regulation, at least. You know what I mean? And that's what we want.
Many of the political parties have not had a sensible policy at all. So it's good to have somebody as fresh as yourself as well. You know,
yeah.
It needs something a bit fresh. We did break way before it was announced, the Green Party policy on cannabis. Must be over 2 years ago now. Because their press secretary didn't want to release it because they thought they'd lose votes. Well, they're not going to win anyway. You know?
I've done so many interviews. You can ask David Hibbert as well. We've talked to so many, like publishers and, like, done interviews with these people and write-ups, and none of it gets published. Why? Because when it gets to the top, it gets blanked off. You know what I mean? So that's why we're creating our own channels, like CanMed I'm doing here, other channels for local area, to be able to click on there on Facebook or whatever social media they have and not have to go to the mainstream media. You know what I mean? To rely on their sources of information, because they lie to us, all of them do. You know what I mean? And I don't believe in mainstream media. That's why I'd rather create my own media and my own information and put out stories of local people going through these struggles. And that's what CanMed will be doing alongside David Hibbert. I mean, the amount of help that he's given to this local community, not even his local community, he's going, like, P people from like Ireland and Scotland, and everyone's just coming to this one guy because he's put himself out there. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's people out there in Scotland and Ireland who are doing the same thing he's doing. Why can't they come out? Please come out. That's what we're urging people to do. You know what I mean?
There's creating a lot of fear, man. I do speak to people, but it is getting there, Ali. You know, and I want you to know that. I mean, from Sheffield, people I met at Sheffield, one will be here within 3 days' time. There'll be another here behind the end of July. These are people who can afford to come out to Spain and get the treatments they need.
A lot of people can't. I know that, man. I do know that.
That's why we've got to push as much as we possibly can. I know you do yourself. We hear some tragic stories. And to be around people, it was a world of good for me, man. It's given me a real spur here. You know, to be around them people at the UPA meetings and people like yourself, Martin, you know, it takes a lot of people, a lot of time and a lot of dedication to stay focused on, as you say, that singular event, you know. And I don't shout for legalization, you know. I don't shout for any kind of legislation. If we're going to legislate cannabis, then we need to legislate rhubarb. And if you can push for legislation on rhubarb and you can get it, then I'd say the Nazis are running Britain. Oh, hang on a minute, they might be. I better take that back. I mean, the way it's going on, they might be. But hey, that's maybe for Max's show later. But, you know, it is when there are good people who aren't doing any harm, you know, and under the law, man, you know, where's the victim? Where is the victim? Well, I'm the victim. I'm the victim, driven out of England. Because I can't get me medicine, I've got to have side effects, which are just unbelievable, the side effects. Now I'm useful, you know, I'm more than useful. Now I'm standing next to politicians, me. When I come back to England now, they're not locking me in a cell. They're not locking me in a cell and accusing me of crimes that I committed in a different country. They're not doing that. I'm being warmly welcomed. We're getting the police constable and the politicians stood with us. But what are we at the end of the day, Ali? We're just working class people that are making a difference. We are making a difference. You know, I don't think it will come through legislation and change. I really don't. I think it will come through social action.
Yeah.
You know, people think that there's a better policy by the government here in Spain. It's not the government in Spain that have made it doable here. It's the people that have made it doable here in Spain.
Yeah, if we all turn around here in England tomorrow and start knocking on the door, like every single one of us, and say, right, legalise it, you know what I mean? Otherwise, the economy, everyone's not working, the economy will collapse if you don't legalise it tomorrow. Like, and then obviously we'll force them into it, but obviously everyone wants to sit at home. Stop, like, nothing's going to happen doing, like, putting a few posts on Facebook and stuff like that. You need to go out there, record the footage if you need to be, you know what I mean? Get the stories out there, get the information out there. We're going to be setting up...
Medical user gets arrested, shut down the police station.
Well, yeah, we'll protest. And this is the thing
about... Go, you know, if a medical like, user, you...
The more of us there are, the easier it is for everyone to gather. And, like, that's how we will feel safe. Obviously, people feel safe in groups and... We are a group, like, you know what I mean? It's a shame that some of us sit at home and think, oh, it's a shame he got arrested or he was doing a good thing or whatever. Where were you? Where was your support? You know what I mean? Everyone needs to get together and unite. I mean, we're creating different pages for different things, and one of them will be helping unite people from local areas. We want to start doing training courses for grow training for those people who don't know how to grow, A to Z from seed to drying. You know what I mean? They're making oil and the whole process.
I was just called seed to oil. We've seed started oil. Doing it on the seed to oil. We've done one. But yeah, there's a few out there. We do need to do it. I'm trying to keep it simple. Small amount of text, simple photographs. Yeah, yeah. People get a problem with what they're doing, whatever technique they're using. They get in touch with me. Here, I can set it up, growing cannabis, take photographs and show them. I do that in the UK. Clink. Bye-bye, you know. And I did have a couple of people when I got locked up in the UK. Nigel Rawlins, Susan, ill from Australia. Nigel was obviously ex-councillor and Green Party candidate, stood right next to me in the police station. Didn't stop them locking me up, but I did get released and eventually no charges were brought. So it was a good thing. But when you're locked in that room on your own, and especially if you've got some illness of some description, you're sat in that room on your own, knowing that there are people on that outside, knowing the support, it gets you through. It doesn't matter how hard people think we are or how tough they think they are, at the end of the day, it could end up with you sitting in a police cell for a few hours. But that's about it. They can't really do much. Well, they do illegal stuff as well to try and stop people. You know, when we do remain within the law, they do. This is not just an assault on medical cannabis, but it's an assault on a culture, a cannabis culture. You know, that one that networks people together, that is caring, that can actually solve the problems of the world. That's what the fight is.
I was in, like, these cannabis clubs and stuff in, like, Bristol and London and stuff. And coming back here, Stoke-on-Trent, and I went straight into a club. And I was like, God, where the hell am I? You know what I mean? All these people are drunk and, like, it's just a completely different atmosphere. When you're in the cannabis clubs, people are, like, having conversations. Like, it's a completely different environment. Like, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the actual beer, the hops that are made to make beer are from the same family as cannabis plant, you know what I mean? People are blind when they're thinking that this is dangerous for them. And then, like, I was campaigning in the middle of the town centre in Hanley for Sister, and a woman sparks up a cigarette, gives one to her daughter who's under 18, and looks at my poster and says, "Stop drug dealers, progress medical science," right? And it says, "Vote for cannabis law reform." And she looks at it and looks at me in disgust, and she says, "You're giving a good message out there to the children, aren't you?" I looked at her. I said, "What about you sparking up a cigarette?" I goes, "Cannabis is safer than cigarettes." And she says, "No, it isn't." I goes, "Do your research. Have a look into it." And she sort of tried to shrug me off and try to carry on walking. And people just don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? They're just going to be blind. You're just going to try to shrug it off. And this is the thing.
Their daughter heard you, though.
We're going to force it into their face. We need to show them that this thing is not dangerous. You know what I mean? And, I mean, how many people in America, most of the actual, it's edible market that's more than the actual smoke market. So it's the average everyday people and that are using this sort of product in everyday situations. And not a UK that smokes a joint at work or after work or during work, just like a beer. I mean, it's crazy to criminalize every single one of them. If you look at David Cameron, he says he's used cannabis. You know what I mean? Obama's used cannabis. But if they would have got caught using cannabis, they wouldn't be where they are now. You know what I mean? So, what's the difference in that? So, we need to stop this. We need to change this blindness of people, like, that people have, like, against the actual benefits of this plant and the fact that it just grows everywhere in other countries. And because of our laws, their laws are the way they are as well. Because if you think about it, England did rule most of the world at one point. You know what I mean? If we change our laws, their laws will soon change as well. And maybe we can stop Malaysians beheading people for a bit of cannabis, you know what I mean? So if we look at the whole picture, maybe we can help people in Afghanistan build, like, hemp farms to build their hemp houses, to feed themselves with hemp oil, you know what I mean, and seeds and clothing. And we don't have to just look at ourselves. We can look at the whole world and think that we can better that by changing things here in England. And England is a powerhouse, and it does control most of the world. At the same time, the West does dominate most of the decisions. And if we legalize it, and if we all start knocking doors, besides from posting posts on Facebook, you know what I mean? We all need to get out there in the middle of town centers campaigning, and you know what I mean? Politicians are where we need to put our influence, I think, in during the times of election, because that's the only time they sort of come out. But until then, I'll be building like a recruitment, like a team of people all around me with like-minded people to do that type of things we need to do to progress this, you know what I mean? Without sitting at home and thinking, yeah, this needs to be legalized and carry on growing, and you're doing dabs and stuff like that when you could be making oil for your neighbor who's dying of cancer, you know what I mean? So why, that's the sort of culture as well within the grow society as well that we need to change. obviously with all the other cannabis clubs and this and that, I think we all need to unite. There is the NCC, National Cannabis Coalition thing going on in England, I heard. But yeah, besides from that, Sister is actually there in front of politicians and that making a difference and uniting people at the same time, no matter where they're from or who they are. We will be taking anyone on board, so please do sign up to Sister and help us spread the message, sister.org. Same with David Hibbert's cannabis bylaw. He's got 3,000 odd signs. If we go out there and help this one person get that one benchmark that we need, why not? You know what I mean? Get people, get knocking on people's doors to sign his petition. You know what I mean? Let's do it.
Absolutely, Alec. Let's do it. Let's get motivated. Let's get knocking on those doors. And let's remember that when you knock on that door, it's another human being. And we need to really, you know, get back to basics and figure out how we can relate to our human family on the most basic of levels. And one of the you know, uniting factors that unites us all is plants. You know, we all like to go outside and look at the countryside and look at nice things and natural environments. And, you know, cannabis is one of those natural bounties that can really bring together a community. Let's do it. Thanks so much for having the time to come and speak to us tonight, Ali. And thanks so much for attending the UPA, where I saw you a couple of weeks ago. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you again in the future. And
definitely, my pleasure.
You're more than welcome. Thanks to everyone at Sister. Thanks for the caller that came in. What you're doing by, you know, trying to unify under one, you know, clear objective is a great way of doing things, and I hope that it produces the results you're looking for in the future. And I'm pretty sure that with with just unrelenting enthusiasm for this for this way of living, that we're gonna get there. I mean, the evidence is mounting up. Look, we've got the hard evidence, man. The judge has acquitted a cannabis social club in Spain for saying it's not dangerous to the public. You know, I'll say this now, it is not dangerous to the public, right? We've got hard evidence of a judge saying it. You know, we've got so much evidence now. David cured his cancer, right? There's many other people who've sent letters to David who are curing their cancer right now, who have cured their cancer, congratulating him. This is hard evidence. People are living through this medicine. People are thriving through this medicine. This plant can create an economy. It can sustain life. So the evidence is there. Let's just keep getting it to those who need it. Keep getting it to those who like to read about it and grow. Yeah, that's the final point that I wanted to make. Thanks to everyone listening tonight in the audience. Remember that you can come and get involved in the Compassion Club at any point that you would like to. We welcome everyone who's got a passion for, you know, the compassionate care that comes with medicating. Please get involved in what we're doing. Please get involved in your local community by getting the medicine to those who need it and getting the right information to those who are asking for it.
Right.
So, Alec, do you just want to say good night to everyone?
Yeah, good night, everyone. And smoke the good stuff, not the bad stuff from the bad drug dealers. You don't need to put money in their pockets. Save your money for yourself, and help others medicate and get yourself educated. Cannabis is a self-taught thing. There's no curriculum about it, no teachers out there. Teach yourself. You're your own teacher here, and we can all medicate and safely. So yeah, good night, and thank you, Dark City, for having me. And everyone, please just sign on sister.org and sign David Hibbert's petition. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Cheers, Bob.
Punish them in the same way you did somebody. They were trying to help in a way that society doesn't allow right now. But I don't know. There's some people that kind of need to be removed, man. And it's just see it all the time. I see it. Not like on the streets. I don't encounter people.
Removal doesn't solve problems, my friend.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone to put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life, let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m., Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.